And the recording of Just a Minute you're about to hear features Derek Nimmo, who sadly died last week. The BBC, with the agreement of Derek's family, had decided to broadcast the show as a tribute to him. It was, incidentally, his last professional engagement before his tragic fall, the consequences of which finally overwhelmed him. Derek Nimmo was one of the stalwarts of Just a Minute. He'd been in the original pilot show with me over 34 years ago, and his clever, witty, and sometimes outrageous contributions to the programme were always a joy and delight. Our friendship goes back even further, and it was because of this he was able on occasions to be incredibly rude to me in the show. It's only when you know someone extremely well can you make fun of them in public and the listeners enjoy it, because they know there's no malice intended. Derek was a skilled comedy performer, equally at home on the stage or before the television cameras. He was also a very fine after-dinner speaker and a most successful entrepreneur, sending productions of plays around the world. He brought all his performance skills and love of travel into Just a Minute. He was exceptional, individual, and a rare comic talent. Please enjoy him once again in what was one of his favourite programmes. Welcome to Just a Minute! Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, and also the four exciting, exuberant, attractive players of the game who are going to compete this week. We welcome back a young comedian with his own distinctive and individual style, that is Tony Hawkes. Another young comedian with his own original style, and that is Graham Norton. A comedy player who's developed his style many years ago, and it is still a fresh day, as it was then. That is Derek Nimmo. And a young comedian whose style, which is as distinctive as she is attractive, and that is Linda Smith. Will you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will have to do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Elaine Wigley, who's going to help me keep the score. She has a stopwatch, which she will hold, which will tell me how many seconds has gone by. She also has a whistle to blow when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Lyceum Theatre in Sheffield. We enjoyed ourselves so much when we were here a few weeks ago. The invitation went out again, and we accepted with alacrity. And we have an exciting, warm, but certainly not a door, Yorkshire audience who are not feeling the cold at all, even though they live in a very cold part of the country. Right, and we're going to begin the show this week with Graham Norton, and who better? Graham, the subject is, what makes me furious? Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I thank you, Nicholas, for this opportunity to rant quietly about what makes me furious. It is, in fact, when technology is not ready to be introduced to the marketplace, and yet they do. For example, Video Plus. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it doesn't actually perform the task it's intended to. The end of the film is coming close, and somebody says the person who did the murder was shaken back. You better shake. And it's very irritating. Other things that annoy me, because, dear God, I've nothing else to say about that.
Tony Hawk's challenge.
I think there may have been a hesitation there.
I think there was a hesitation. So, it was lovely, wasn't it? Tony, you have a correct challenge, so you get a point for your correct challenge. You take over the subject. There are 16 seconds available. What makes me furious, starting now?
I am so calm and at peace with myself that I very rarely get furious about anything. But there is one particular area where I'm not always happy, and that's when I'm putting on a duvet cover. It's so difficult, and I can never...
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Tony Hawkes. And, Linda, will you take the next round? The subject, my party piece. talk on the subject starting now.
When I was little, my party piece used to be to sing along to my favourite Cilla Black song, Anyone Who Had a Heart. Everyone thought it was charming. How times change. These days, my party piece is to drink industrial quantities of Chardonnay, then pumps fags because I'm so drunk I've forgotten I don't smoke, then sing Firestarter by Prodigy. Nobody seems to find it delightful in any way at all. Why do...
Graham Norton challenge. Graham, what is your challenge?
One or two sings.
Yes, to sing along. She did sing more than once. You have a correct challenge, Graham, so you take over the subject.
All right.
My party piece, 30 seconds, starting now.
My party piece is perhaps a little visual. It is to do an impression of a small terrier dog making love. It goes something like this.
I must explain to our listeners...
No, Nicholas, don't.
I have to. The audience have laughed and all the listeners will wonder, why were they laughing? And the reason was that Graham Norton gave a brilliant... His features took on that of a little terrier dog and his little tongue came out and it made licking movement. It was worth the laugh. But you've lost the subject.
Yes, I thought as much.
Yes, because Derek challenge, hesitation, Derek, my party piece, 16 seconds starting now.
Well, my party piece used to be to waggle my toes and say nursery rhymes to them. This was tremendously popular. I went on the Name and Andy show with Bob Hope and Bing Crosby and did my party piece, which received a tremendous acclaim.
Derek Nimmo speaking as the whistleman, gained that extra point, and he's now alongside Tony Hawks in the lead. Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject, steel. Talk on it, Derek, 60 seconds starting now.
Here I am in the city of steel. Well, that it used to be. 40,000 people were employed in the industry, and 9/10 of the world's knives were made here. My great-grandfather was a master cutler and lived in this fine, wondrous place. I was told by him, never ask anyone if he's a Yorkshireman, because if he is, he will already have told you. And if he isn't, you don't want to humiliate him. But he lived here for these many years. Of course, I can think of Tommy Steele, who was discovered in the Three Eyes coffee shop in Old Country Street in Soho. And David Steele, that marvellous man who led the Liberal Party for so long after the collapse of the previous head of that organisation. But Steele is something which Sheffield is
changing. Oh, Tony, you challenged with 2 seconds ago. You went for 58 seconds. And if you go for the full 60, you get an extra bonus point. But Tony, you got in, yes. It was a hesitation. 2 seconds for you on steel, starting now.
It is wrong to steal, but I'm going to say exactly what Derek said.
Oh, I think this has been chosen specially for you, Graham. Bright young things. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Bright young things is a lovely way of describing babies living near Sellafield. You can see the glow emanating across the fields. Nervous children living there don't need to worry about...
Derek Nimmo's challenge you.
There's no children.
Yes, there were children before, yes. So, Derek, you've got in on this bright young thing, so you have 41 seconds to tell us something about it, starting now.
I remember years ago when Nicholas Parsons and I were bright young things. Rappers in the 1920s, down the Strand again, tossing our pearls over our shoulders, blowing kisses to passing guardsmen, and they would say, they are bright young things, and we were. It's so sad to see them now. In the first flush of his senility. And then he too, and I, what we were. In bright young people.
Linda challenged. Yes, Linda, what was your...
Several repetitions of we were.
We were, yes, definitely. Hesitation and rubbish. And deviation as well, yes. So, Linda, you have 10 seconds on bright young things starting now.
Bright young things, in my experience, certainly don't work in DIY superstores. Quite the reverse, I find. They're really rather stupid young...
Well, then, Miss Smith... Speaking as the whistle and gained that extra point for doing so, and has moved forward. But, Tony, it's your turn to begin as well. Keeping a straight face. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
If I look out at an audience and see nothing but straight faces, then as a comedian I'm not really doing my job properly. But I used to do a good deal of acting in the past, and it was important to be able to keep a straight face. It was no good being told by a fellow thespian on stage that your mother had died in a Greek tragedy and then burst out laughing because someone had dropped their kecks in the wings. Frankly, it was not on. I used to keep a straight face in the cupboard under the stairs. For about 4 years it was there. I used to bring it out at parties and wave it around and then put it away again.
Derek, you challenge.
Well, hesitation.
Yes, he said a definite there, so that's hesitation. Derek, you have a correct challenge. Another point, of course.
2 seconds to go.
Now, the full 25 to tell us something about keeping a straight face, starting now.
It is sometimes very difficult to keep a straight face on stage. I used to work with a lovely lady called Maureen Lipman, and she is most difficult to keep a straight face with because she's always pulling funny ones. And I don't know. Geoffrey Palmer. Do you know him? Sour-faced old fellow. Well, he is terribly difficult to keep a straight face with as well because he makes you giggle. And I know if I'm sitting in the audience like you are tonight and I see people...
So, Derek did keep going to the whistle win, gained that extra point. He's equal in the lead with Tony Hawks at the end of the round. Graham Norton, your turn to begin. The subject, Seven Hills. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Imagine my delight when I sat in my hotel room and picked up a colorful, lavishly illustrated brochure which announced, "If you like hills, you'll love Sheffield." Because, as you know, but I didn't, it's built on seven hills. How did that happen, I wonder? Presumably, it was, in fact, built on one hill. And, oh...
Oh, dear, Tony challenged.
Repetition of built.
Well spotted.
Yes, yeah. Yes. The generosity. Right. Tony, 28 seconds for you on Seven Hills, starting now.
Jimmy Hill, Gordon Hill, Damon Hill, Harry Hill, Box Hill... The hills are alive with the sound of music. I could go on. Rome wasn't built in a day. That was constructed on seven hills also, but it's not a patch on Sheffield. Frankly, you see no tourists going there. Well, people, I often feel like going to the tourist tour there and saying, why are you in this Italian city when you could be in Yorkshire visiting the seven hills there? There's much more to see and more Roman remains, I thought.
So, Tony, you've taken the lead. You're at extra point for speaking as the whistle when you're going ahead. And, Derek Nimmo, will you take the next round? My current craze. What a lovely subject. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Well, in my long life, I've witnessed many crazes. There used to be hula hoops. Now it seems to be yo dittos that everybody has, pulling them up and down with little gears cunningly put inside them. But I have a current craze this year, which, curious enough, is... currants, because I had a surfeit of strawberries, an extravagance of raspberries, far too many blackberries, and then at the end of the summer I thought to myself, oh, currants, those little sultanas, and I put them into cakes and into pies and also the red ones and also those glorious...
Tony Hawks has challenged you.
Well, there were quite a lot of alsos.
Yes,
quite a lot of
alsoing a bit too much there, Derek. Yeah. Yes, but you did very well. I mean, you...
I'll get you for that.
Tony Hawks, you challenge, a correct challenge, a point for that, of course. 21 seconds available. My current craze starting now.
My current craze are Ronnie and Reggie. I went out and bought toy replicas of them, and I play with them at home. I was quite keen on snowboarding. I did that for a while. I did it on Hampstead Heath in the summer. It was no fun, I have to tell you. It's far better to go to Verbier or somewhere in Switzerland and
So Tony Hawk spoke as Whistle Wend, gained that extra point, and he's moved into second place behind Graham Norton. And Linda Smith, it's your turn to begin. The subject is critic. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Kenneth Tynan said a critic is someone who knows where to go but doesn't know how to drive the car. This makes a critic the opposite of a minicab driver who knows how to drive the car but doesn't know how to get there, in my experience. This is particularly true in South London, I find, where many... Oh, dear God, surely that's a minute.
Graham Norton, you challenge.
I sensed she wanted me to.
So do we interpret that as hesitation, I suppose, so, or even deviation? That
just must... giving up. Just giving up the will to live, really.
Yes. Right. 36 seconds, Graham. Critic, starting now.
It is a little-known fact that critic is a French word, meaning sad wannabe who was bullied in school. Wants to get back at the world for a living. Oh, read them and weep. I have no idea, really, why anyone would want to be a critic. When I was in school, I remember writing... Thank God for that.
Linda challenge.
A repetition of school.
That's right, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Linda, you've got him, but you've only 9 seconds, so go on, critic, starting now.
Some rather smug people say, oh, I'm my own worst critic. How on earth can they possibly know that? They don't know what we're saying about them.
So Linda Smith, speaking as the Whistle Wend, gained that extra point. She is equal in second place with Graham Norton there behind Tony Hawks and Derek Nimmer, who are out in the lead together. Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, the wild card. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, a wild card is someone who is unpredictable. And I would suggest David Shaler, that curious man who was employed by the MI5, must be a very wild card indeed. How did the intelligence service get someone who is such a loose cannon and employ him? I've never seen anyone look so shifty and unpleasant. He's sitting there in France, eating off the lap. He can't come back here and sue me, by the way, because if he does, he'll be nabbed and put in the nearest thing. I'm sure he won't do it. And his girlfriend looks equally curious, but I cannot imagine how wild card when we have these people.
But Tony, you catch the bugger.
Repetition of imagine.
That's right, yes, more than that, yes, but there we are. But, Tony, 22 seconds, the wild card, starting now.
The wild card can be used in poker. We used to have some magnificent games. Paul Merton, who's an illustrious player of this game, we'd go round his house and play into the night. It was magnificent. Sometimes you'd have so many wild.
Derek Challenge.
Repetition of magnificent.
It was too magnificent, I'm afraid.
It was.
10 seconds. Derek, back with you, the wild card, starting now.
You can change the colour or the suit, or any kind of rule that you, if you're dealing, want to inflict. And that can be for the wild card. Now, when I was in Vegas...
Derek Nimmer, speaking of the Whistle Wend, gained that extra point. He's in second place behind Tony Hawks at the end of that round. And Tony, we're with you. It's your turn to begin again. And the subject is the arrest. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Last night I went out in Sheffield, drank 14 pints of lager, climbed to the top of the town hall, stripped naked, and sang the entire repertoire of the Spice Girls hits, accompanying myself on the organ. The arrest that followed was swift and devastating. The officer came up to me and said, "Hello, bonjour, good day," taking care not to repeat those words, which was handy for me in recounting this story. And he said, "You've already taken down what I want for evidence." And I made a statement and was taken off. I made a citizen's arrest once as an audience.
Derek, name a chance.
Repetition made.
Yes, you were making, yes, a lot there. Derek, with you, the arrest, 14 seconds, starting now.
I was in my room in the Cadogan Hotel, number 14, I think it was, when I suddenly heard a rat-tat-ditto on the door, and I opened it. Outside was a bobby peeler, or I think a policeman, as you might call it today, and they said, "We are here to arrest you," and they took me down to Chelsea Hospital, which was very near to the police station, so it was quite a good place to be, really. And they said...
Is this good? Derek Nimmo, speaking as a whistle away and gaining that extra point, is now in a lead at just one ahead of Tony Hawks. Graham Norton, your turn to begin. Scent. Tell us something about that delicious subject in this game, starting now.
It remains a mystery to me why they name scents the way they do. Who wants to smell like Old Spice? Surely it should be fresh, vibrant. Basil, I love you. However, a scent like jazz is to perfume what that is to music. Pointless. Dreariness in the air. There's a new one now that Calvin Klein has just introduced called Contradiction. Why? Somebody says, I love your perfume. No, you don't. I'd like to go home with you. No, you wouldn't. It's a curious name for anything. As a young boy, I would sit in the car beside my father, being driven to the school hop, reeking of blue Stratos, which was a popular thing at the time. Now, of course, draw near.
Well, that hasn't happened for quite a while. Someone started with the subject and went the full 60 seconds. No hesitation, repetition, or deviation, and he was not interrupted. Graham, you get only a point for speaking when the whistle went. A bonus point for not being interrupted. Hard work for 2 points, but well done. And you're still in third place, Melissa. Linda, it's your turn to begin. Lovely subject, a swift half. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Half, a quick little drink, probably with a chum, is so much nicer than a half swift, such as the cat might leave in the kitchen for you to find. Charming, equally unpleasant, a half swallow, a half pigeon, a half wren, a half,
Tony, you challenge.
I think there was a hesitation. Half a hesitation.
It's definite hesitation. Tony, 41 seconds, a swift half, starting now.
Last night I went out in Sheffield and drank 28 swift halves. I climbed to the top of the town hall, removed my clothing, and sang the entire repertoire of the Spice Girls hits whilst accompanying myself on the organ. This is an example of what not to do. Normally you should just have a swift half, maybe.
Derek Nimmo chance.
I don't think could be very swift halves if you had 28 of them. They must be rather slow halves.
They're incredibly quick if you've got to get 28 in, I tell you.
I mean, a swift half, each half was swift. No, he wasn't deviating from the subject. So, 21 seconds, were you, Tony, still a swift half starting now?
The second half of Sheffield Wednesday against Manchester United went very swiftly for me because I was enjoying the scoreline of 3-1. That was an example of a swift half that you don't imbibe, but one that you watch. I can't remember Helen Hummel.
Graham Norton challenge.
That was
hesitation, and you cleverly got in with 4 seconds to go on a swift half, Graham, starting now.
Thanks to penalty shootouts, hurrah, what a great idea. Swift half.
Well, Tony Hawks is still in the lead. Derek Nimmo is coming up one behind him, and Graham Norton's creeping up, and Linda Smith is following him. And, Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject is quotations. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I always like that quotation of Carol Brown when she said she could never see what Sir Godfrey Curle could see in the actress Jill Bennett until she went to Caprice and saw her eating corn on the cob. I always think that's a rather amusing idea, really. And that line of Oscar Wilde's, he said, never make love to a Methodist standing up because it could lead to dancing. If you're going to a building contractor, it's very important to get a quotation first because otherwise you'll be done horribly. I have experience with a company called First Direct, and they tell me how much it was going to cost. But unfortunately, when the bill arrived, it had doubled. And look, the gentle day before the wheels of Phoebus, round about dapples the drowsy east to a spot to grow, thanks to you all and leavers. Mr. and Mrs. Ramsbottom.
Well,
Right.
Well, that doesn't often happen in just a minute. Two complete rounds, no interruptions, no hesitation, repetition, deviation. Well done. So we're moving into the last round, alas. And Tony Hawks, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is apron strings. 60 seconds as usual, and your time starts now.
I was tied to my mother's apron strings for a long period of my life, but fortunately they were incredibly long. So she lived in Buenos Aires, and I was brought up in Brighton. Sometimes shipping would get entangled in them, causing enormous difficulties to the commercial business that went on the oceans. I also used to play...
Graham Norton challenge.
There were two ons, weren't there?
Yes.
You all heard them.
So, correct challenge, another point. Graham, apron strings is with you starting now.
Apron strings is a dull topic, and yet I will go on. I'm not in favor of the domestic bow at the back when tying them. Having worked in restaurants, I favor the twice round up the front and little...
Linda, you challenge.
Was there a repetition of favor? Did you favour twice?
Yes, you did. Yes. I favour, yes. I don't favour the bird at the back, I favour. Yes, well done. Well, listen, Linda, yes. The last round, they're all going
to... No, I could have bought it. No, God knows no one was listening.
So, Linda, you've got in on the subject of apron strings. There are 23 seconds left, starting now.
Like Graham, I prefer the bow at the front. It looks so much more professional, like the two fat ladies or somebody like that. Some TV...
Derek Limerchance.
Tradition of light.
Like that. There was too many likes. I'm sorry, Linda. So Derek's got in with 15 seconds to go on this subject. Apron strings starting now.
If you are a bishop of the Church of England, you would wear an apron with strings that tie in front. Similarly, should you be a Freemason, you would wear, as an entered apprentice, an apron with strings that have to be tied, not the...
Tony was challenged.
Repetition of tide.
Tide, yes, that's right. And Tony, you cleverly got in with 1 second to go. And I think we're going to make it a very tight contest at the end of the result of that last challenge. 1 second. Apron strings, Tony, starting now.
Apron strings.
So let me give you the final score. Linda Smith, who's not played the game as much as the others, just finished in fourth place, just behind Graham Norton in third place. Two with the same points, 11 points each. Derek Nimmo and Tony Hawks are joint winners. Does it really matter where they come? It's the contributions they make, and they were all wonderful and lovely and delightful. And I do thank Linda Smith, right at the top there, Tony Hawks, Graham Norton, Derek Nimmo, for the wonderful contribution. We thank them. I thank Elaine Wigley for keeping the score so magnificent and giggling so charmingly in my ear, and also helping with everything. And also our producer, Chris Neal, who produces the show, keeps us all in order when he possibly can. And, of course, the creator of the game, Ian Messenger. We're deeply grateful to him. And particularly grateful to this lovely Yorkshire audience of the Lyceum Fest Sheffield for encouraging us on our way. Thank you so much. We've enjoyed ourselves here in Sheffield. From me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye!
There'll be more Just a Minute at the same time next week. After...